Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
It's June 9th, 2015, and this is Insight Out, the Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Santa Cruz Mountains of California, where clothing is optional, yep, but the truth is always apparently naked. I am Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. We welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation, a few laughs, several spiritual perspectives, and as many surprises as we can muster.
There we are, mustering up surprises. The night's word for the night is muster. We don't use mustard near enough, so we're going to have some mustering for sure.
I always put mustard on my hot dogs.
Anyway, our time tonight is gifted by Go Raw, our sponsor. 100% raw food. Tastes good, good for you. Wonderful stuff.
And Go Raw can be found at Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and the organic section of Costco. But go to GoRaw.com to find out where Go Raw can be found in your neighborhood.
Rochelle often asks me, "You sure?" My answer is almost always, no. Takes a lot of pressure out of life, but admittedly, it makes Rochelle a little nervous.
Admittedly.
For example, you sure this is how to get to? No.
You sure?
No. How often do you feel sure about something only to find out you were wrong? Or perhaps circumstances have changed since you were so sure about them? Well, that's why we thought being sure just be a great focus for our time together tonight.
Are you sure?
Well, no. But nevertheless, taking a look at what it is to be sure, how far out our surety can extend, what guarantees come with being sure, how long it lasts, and based on what? It seems like a worthy topic in our quest, per usual, to expand and deepen into consciousness, or I like to say, into authenticity.
Are you sure? It's a lot of pressure on being sure. And how sure is sure when you are sure? Because there's always the perception that we have and the perceptions other people have. And we think of our perceptions as surety, but how sure are our perceptions? I mean, if you looked at a tree and five people were standing around it, they'd all see a tree, but they'd all see it differently. So how sure are you that the tree that you're seeing is the real tree and not just a small part of the tree? And I think that's where surety can be challenged, because we can only feel sure, if we do ever, about that which we particularly see, experience, you know, our senses experience it, and maybe even our intuition experiences it, but it's still our experience. Are you sure?
Are you sure?
Ever since we came up with this title, I've gone into total doubt.
It's funny.
To be sure, it says there's such a certainty to it. You know, I don't know. Maybe the only thing I'm sure about is that I don't really know 100%.
You sure?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really. That's the only thing I'm sure of, is that I don't know 100%.
I remember reading, I think it was in A Course in Miracles, in talking to us as teachers of God who are endeavoring to invite people into that shared knowing. And he suggested that even though the person might think they got it all together and they're sure, if you can even start from the place, well, do you think you know all there is to know?
Oh, for sure, I'm not sure.
Right. If you can get your foot in that door, you might be able to leverage it toward being sure where sure might actually be found. I think it's like a place. Surety. Sure? Yeah, surety. That's, it's a little town.
Like there's city, and right. This is itty.
Yeah, there's surety. It's a city of surety. And in the city of surety, what you see, well, let's interview somebody from the little town of surety. This is Melvin Parnipple. Melvin, what's it like living in this town of surety?
Well, you can be sure when you're walking down the street that it is you walking down the street. A lot of places that may not seem so obvious, but people have a lot of doubt about whether they actually exist or not. They must have that doubt because they seem like they're always doing all kinds of contortions to twist themselves into a place where they can be more sure of themselves. We don't have that problem.
Could you be a little bit more clear about that? It got a little fuzzy for me. I couldn't keep up. Could you repeat that?
Fuzzy is as fuzzy does.
Melvin.
All right. What I'm trying to say is that we here at surety don't doubt ourselves. That counts for a lot of unsurety. Someone asked me, Melvin, are you sure that it is you there, Melvin? We feel reasonably confident that we can say, yes, I'm pretty sure.
In your little surety, I still heard you say pretty sure.
The reality is that given the little poverty of our mind's ability to grasp everything, you can't really be ultimately sure, but we substitute here in surety faith as the vehicle that allows us to act as if we were sure in the fundamental goodness of existence.
Okay, is that clear, Rochelle?
Is it like a religion?
No, it's not a religion. It's a walk. Right now, for example, I am walking. It's a step-by-step process by which you keep acting as if you were sure in the fundamental goodness of existence.
Is it like whistle a happy tune?
That's interesting, Rochelle. That's a way of filling in the gap so we don't have to have that gaping hole of unsurety. I see it as a gaping hole there. It's like this chasm.
Is it scary? To be unsure, does it produce fear? Is our need to be sure giving us a sense of confidence and clarity or whatever? If we feel sure, we feel safe. So it's really scary to not be sure. That's why I always applaud you when you say you're not sure.
Without a doubt.
Change the
That was Isbell's, without a doubt. I believe we have the antidote for that. I mean, that was kind of a dark place to be. If you listen to the lyrics, all my dreams got knocked out, left to die, and I don't know how to go on and on with no one to lean on, without a doubt, without regret. No, I can't put up with that. I can't change the world with melodies, but I'll try.
Now that's a surety.
Yeah?
That you'll try.
I don't think it's surety. I think it's in the hope area. And I'm not sure hope is quite up to the surety, the sureness area. I think hope is something life kind of gives you so you don't get completely discouraged.
I guess hope has to do with wanting something good. I can't think that we hope for things that are horrible in our lives. It's like a wish, hope, desire. Doesn't it fall into that category, wish, desire, hope?
Let me ask Reginald. Umbridge is here tonight, the professor. Are they related?
Well, they're sort of related. They're like kissing cousins. The hope is this feeling inside of one that somehow things are going to be all right. It's a vaporous sort of thing, because you don't really have anything that you can hold your hands on, but thing that you attach yourself to that's extending out into the future with open arms. Yes, that's one way of looking at hope.
So it does have a sense of wanting it to be good. How many of us hope for something terrible to happen in our life?
All right, well, it's a given. We want it to be a good hope, as opposed to a bad hope. There was the Battle of Bad Hope. I think it was during the Napoleonic times, and they had the Bad Hope. There was the Bad Hope that we think defeated them ultimately because their hope just wasn't very good. It was just rather an inferior brand of hope, Bad Hope.
I had the feeling that hope was just a few steps more than desire.
Wish.
I have the feeling that hope has built into it that you believe it can happen even more than if you just desired it.
Well, now you're getting away from the topic of surety, aren't you? Hello, this is Father O'Malley.
Oh, no, I don't think I am. I think I'm very much in surety.
Oh, well, that's good to hear you say that now. How is that hope part of the surety that you're telling us about?
Because if you truly have hope, there's this sense that it can happen. And so there's a surety about that feeling that it can happen. And you feel very sure about that.
Sure.
Yes.
Huh. Well, let me think about that. But you know, I like to insert in the faith in there. It's the faith that makes it even easier, because the faith is more than just the hope. The faith is the part that goes, I'm going to really, truly act out on that possibility that there was going to be a thing there for you that's going to be good at the other end of the rainbow.
So faith is the next step up from hope.
I believe it is the next
step,
Marilyn.
So we go desire, hope, faith.
We're on our way then.
I rather think we are.
Oh, sure. It is such a good thing to be traveling with you, my dear. There's path of hope, then there's the faith, and then that takes us up right there to the top of the mountain where we're going to find the surety that we're longing for. Because you know what's on the top there? As the St. Paul, the Bible guy, said, faith and hope are great, but love is even better because it's higher up. It's in the love that the true surety seems to reside.
I cannot in any way argue with that.
You sure?
I'm sure I won't argue with it, but am I sure that it's true? I don't know, but I feel it is.
I want to reference a line from the Urantia book, which is this big fat blue book that we read a lot because it keeps us thin. That's really why we read it. It's so big that I do stomach exercises at night when I'm reading. I figure every page of intense moving it up and down in my tummy, I lose several parts of a pound.
You have not done that for years. You've just pretty much memorized all those pages.
Well, speaking of memorized, the line that came to mind with regard to our subject here, it says that what we're offered by the universe is security with uncertainty. That's the gift of faith, if we're open to receive it, that we can feel secure in the universe, that we're firmly held. It's like, you know that there's 14 pounds per square inch pressure on your body from the atmosphere right now, every inch.
No wonder I get tired.
Exactly. No wonder people feel a lot of pressure. Well, they're under 14 pounds per square inch or some number like that.
Are you sure?
No, definitely. Definitely not sure on that one. But talk about feeling enclosed, secure. It's like that. It's like the air. And I think it's also interesting, the word spirit comes from the same word for breath. So breath, air, atmosphere is truly securing us.
Do you feel secure when we breathe that we have what we need to take in and take out? There must be a sense of surety about that.
Well, at a molecular and biological level there.
Right, in the sense that we are programmed to respirate and we do that and we feel very sure about that. We panic tremendously when we can't do that. That's like taking away my security blanket, which means I'm going to die any minute because I can't breathe.
Speaking of suckling, I can't help but notice and appreciate our granddaughter going after the milk. Just sucking it away, sucking it up.
She does it with such passion.
I just assume most babies are like that. They come in knowing how to do that. What I think is important is being able to count on something, having surety, like someone that you can count on and be able to count on me, that we can be the kind of people that you can count on. And in fact, I think this is the antidote to that song about doubt. Who can you count on? Let's find out.
When you feel downhearted, you must remember this. Things never are as bad as they could be. When friends have all departed, there's one you'll never miss. I'll be right with you. You can count on me.
Yeah, you can count on me. You can count on me.
As the adding machine once said, you can count on me.
If you committed murder and got caught like a dope and had to hang until your life was done, I'd holler, go no further, boys, fetch another rope. I'm hanging with him, I'll stick to your son.
Yeah, I'll stick to your son.
I'll always be beside ya.
I'll stick to your son.
We'll go through life together. As the fly paper told the fly, I'll stick to your son.
Yeah, stick to you. Stick to you, stick to you, stick to you.
I'll stick to you. Oh, if you miss your mother a million miles from home, oh, think of how you once clung to her knee. Although there is no other on land or sea or foam, when you're in town, kid, you can cling to me.
Ah! Cling to me, cling to me,
cling to me, cling to me. You can cling to me.
If through a lot of foolery you lost your last red cent, I wouldn't even stop to ask you why.
Ask you why!
I'd pawn my mother's jewelry, I'd steal my sister's rent. It's all for you, kid, you can milk me dry.
You can milk me dry. You can milk me dry.
As the cow to the farmer said,
you can milk me dry.
I am all you need.
That was so much fun. Where did you ever find that song? And who sang it? My God.
That's from On the Town with Frank Sinatra and Gene Kelly. First voice you heard on that track was Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. You sure?
Oh, my God. Oh, from the movie Frank, On the Town.
Yes. So it might be something worth seeing. By the way, I don't know if you understood the lyric with the dough said to the pastry chef, I am all you need. I don't know if you picked up on that lyric.
That was funny. No, you have to hear it more than once. There's so many funny lyrics in it. And I am sure about that.
You are, you're sure. Here's a place where surety really shows up in a very dynamic, rich, and active way. And that's in being able to give endlessly. Much of our life we spent taking. We are takers. Part of that equation is we're afraid we won't have. And so that naturally would lead to greed and other addictions, guilt too. But when you give, when you experience being able to give, and not only do you never run out, you have more to give. It keeps building on itself. The giving. What is the giving? It's love. Endlessly reaching out, enfolding, permeating, filling up, cleaning out, validating, affirming, enlightening, enlivening your experience of life.
A lot of people do believe that if they give and give and give, they will run out. For a lot of people, it's true. Let's say you give away all your money and then you don't have it anymore. So you have to reevaluate what it is that we believe we truly need and what we truly have. If you give everything you think you need away and your needs are still taken care of, that what you said is true. But if you give everything away and you don't see that your needs are being taken care of, you can feel betrayed by that very axiom. The more you give, the more you'll get.
You sure?
Let me think on it.
Well, it goes back to that concept we were addressing earlier. Oh, Rabbi Moshe, can you talk to us a little bit about the security thing with the universe, but with the uncertainty?
A very difficult problem to solve. He wrote the rabbi. Had a man come up to him one day with this very question. And he said, Rabbi Hillel, I don't feel very secure. I feel nervous. I think things could crack and break down because I see lots of cracking and breaking down in things. And why shouldn't I conclude that the cracking and the breaking down is going to happen to me? So Rabbi Hillel looked at him and he said to him at that moment, what happens when an egg breaks? So the egg breaks, it gets all over the place. And what do you do with the egg that's lying all over the place, naked? You cook it. You cook the egg, he said there, right? The guy says, yes. It's the same thing with the cracking. Life is constantly cracking you open so that the egg, which is the beginning of life, comes out. Except the beginning of life happens every single moment. The eggs are always coming out into life, from life. That's why you cannot worry about the cracking. Let the cracking happen. And you'll see that it will be eggs, and you'll have an omelette, or I don't know, maybe you'll make a piece of French toast, whatever. Get some challah, though. If you're going to eat the French toast, make it with the challah bread. Lots of eggs already in it. That's my thing about that. Eggs.
One does have to have a certain amount of wisdom to even understand what you say, Rabbi.
I don't think so. It's like eggs. Everyone understands eggs. You have an egg, you crack it open. And it's like people just know that when you get cracked open, that's what'll happen.
So are you sure of that?
No, I'm not sure of anything here, but I like the sound of it.
I have never cracked an egg and not seen something come out. So does experience lead to surety? if you have the same experience over and over again, and can it lead to unsurety?
Yes, and.
That's right. You come into life like our little granddaughter, and you're so new, and you don't question anything. They pick you up, they put you down. You may be hungry, but you let people know. I don't think it's about questioning whether or not you should eat. You know you want to eat. You know you're wet.
It's a given, darling.
I know, but there's this sense of surety that comes with that innocence. There's no doubt. Doubt comes later in our evolution. When does it come? When do we begin to doubt?
Let me address that. James Hillman wrote an article, a wonderful essay on betrayal. What occurred to me that just like a little piece of dust or grit gets inside an oyster and it's around that, that it creates the pearl, I believe that the piece of grit that sets in motion most all of our dysfunctionality is the experience of betrayal.
That's not a very good pearl.
Wait.
Are you sure?
It's kind of a reverse metaphor. This one goes up, that one went down. But it's like that. It's only half a metaphorically relevant.
Are you sure?
What happens is that we have this experience of betrayal, and then we start adapting to it. And what Hillman talks about in his article is that there is this naive innocence, trust in the universe. As a matter of fact, he tells the Jewish story about the man who had his son jump off the steps, and he caught him, and had him go up a little higher, jumped off the steps, and he caught him, went up a little higher, jumped off the steps, and he didn't catch him. Point being is that that experience of betrayal starts creating this crack, this chasm, that's going to take you out of the Garden of Eden, so to speak, innocence, trust. I suck in the nipples there. And then comes a time when there's the break where something you want is not forthcoming or perhaps even comes with some real abuse. And at that point, the chasm begins. That chasm is necessary, though, to be filled in by the substance of our soul. That's what's being created there, and it's created in the chasm. Every time there's a breaking, it's like muscle. This is Coach Turkey, and I just want to come in and say that I do muscle building, and you got to break it to make it. It's just that simple. You got to break the muscle, and then the new muscle comes in and fills it right in. Anyway, I just want to say that. Thank you all for letting me in.
What was he talking about? Where did the muscles come from?
Is that like the chicken or the egg?
No, I was wanting to respond to your saying that there's a certain moment when you start feeling this betrayal and the crack starts happening. It's like, how do you know when you're betrayed? In other words, if there's this innocence, what does it mean to be betrayed? Because every moment, whatever's happening, that's what happens kind of feeling. There has to be something else happening before the betrayal, before the sense that you've been betrayed, that you can count on, that you are sure of. When that surety is broken, you feel betrayed.
You sure?
As much as I can be.
Okay.
It's not just the innocence. You begin to be sure that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And you'll wake up every morning and you'll have breakfast. And all of a sudden, there's no breakfast.
But we're talking about it and naming it from a position of outside the phenomenon through our minds. We call it betrayal. But the actuality of the experience is there's some impulse to have some satisfaction at some level, and it's not being met, and the satisfaction is not being experienced, and indeed some abuse may be taking place where we get pain. And the first times, especially if it's dramatic, that must be startling to a being if it's used to that happening. That's why in that story that he is letting the son know that he will be betrayed. The end of the article where Hillman takes it is that he says that chasm, that space, that breaking is where we get to be creative. And that's the creative possibility. And that's how, like muscle grows, that's how the universe grows. As we fill in the gap that is hoed out by our discomfort.
is what you're saying, is that we have to know discomfort. We have to even know betrayal if we're going to become creative beings, just to become one with God.
That's right. As the Urantia book says, the greatest affliction is never to have been afflicted.
So do you advocate affliction?
No, I don't advocate it, and I try to avoid it at all costs.
But then how do you expect to grow your soul?
I'm hiding out. I'm going to wait until they have a better method.
Are you sure about it?
No, I'm not sure.
Surety is important for growth. You take steps because you're sure that the ground will be there.
Yeah.
You continue to breathe because you're sure that the air will be there to breathe. And that allows you to move forward. Yes, there's a moment where there's this crack in the egg. But until you get to that crack, if you don't have that certain surety, as you're moving toward the crack, you can become cynical and mean as a result of being betrayed rather than creative.
You're sure?
Well, only from my experience.
There are certain things that if your surety is 100%, that they hover around 97.
I think that's true.
They're very close. Here's the good news also. What we actually want, that fulfillment, that completion, that closure, that sense of self being met, is always available in the now.
Are you sure?
Well, it was springtime when we married. Here comes January. Bring on the ice and storm, 'cause we got love to keep us warm. But don't keep winter waiting. Oh no, let's go skating. All that we have is now. Together in whatever weather, sunshine in the park. We'll tell ghost stories when it's dark and laugh to hide the fear and cry a perfect tear. 'Cause all that we have is now. Do this again sometime, but I can't tell you when. But what a joy is being. But all that we have is now. Well, I wanted more somehow, but all that we have is now. That's it.
Thank you, Jesse Winchester, for reminding us of that. That's really the good news, is that in this now, everything comes. And as a bonus, we have this break that allows us to be creative. And every time we do that and we have the positive results, it augments our surety. And we become more and more sure, because we're giving ourselves permission to extend out into what can be a very scary universe and allow ourselves to go out and permeate into it anyway with the being / love that we are. And that is the gift of the great Yeshua, as well as many other teachers.
But what are we sure of? when you said that, I realized if we're sure that what you say is true, then I am always expanding myself. But if I'm not sure of that, that's not going to happen in my consciousness. It could even be happening to me physically, but I won't get it until I get the certainty of the surety.
Are you sure?
We're at the certainty of the surety junction in our show, folks, and that's why it is Insight Out the Naked Truth here in Los Gatos. Now, here's the uncertainty part. Stop and think about all the things that you have to be uncertain about.
A lot.
You get my point. There's so much to be uncertain about. So to find that place in life where we are certain.
Are they equated, certainty and surety?
Well, that's another thing that he goes into his article, which is significant. James Hillman, in that article on betrayal, he identifies certain places people go, at an attitude they take on. For example, cynicism. You mentioned cynicism earlier. That's one. Paranoia. That's another. Denial. Very popular. Very popular.
I know they're selling it at a discount this week.
And self-betrayal. Mm-hmm. You betray yourself because better you should do it. It won't hurt as much if you do it than if you let it do it, whatever the outside it that may have done it before when you had that betrayal. So you go into denial. And there's one more, but I can't remember it.
Are you sure?
No. But I think it's important to recognize, like, which one did you or do you tend to default to? Cynicism? Sometimes I feel like I live in a psychic atmosphere of cynicism. There's just so much cynicism. Then I hop out of that into the denial. And there's plenty of company. And the paranoia. Oy, the paranoia. That's big. Lots of fear going on.
Coming aware of, as I receive people without judgment, when I just receive them, I feel a certain surety of the moment, the engagement, which is so replete unto itself that it naturally will lead to the next moment. But there's a surety in that moment. Like he said, all that I have is now, because it's so full.
It's like you're full of it.
But what is the it in this sense?
Exactly.
But you can come back to, what are we sure of? Some people feel certain that they're going to get hurt. They're sure of it. They've had it before, and they know that they will have it again. So to move from that sense of surety around something bad happening to you, so it doesn't negate surety. It just negates what we are sure of.
So it turns into actually a projection of a hard belief, and then that belief then directs your life to a great extent, which is why Yeshua recommends we must learn to steer our beliefs, not necessarily change them. So if you have, for example, the belief that the surety will be a bad thing, and it just is, but then you have this possibility of starting to steer that. And I think that's a very interesting way of talking about how to make the transition. So right now the belief might be, yes, it's going to be bad. The first way to start to steer it away from that is to ask the question, are you willing to see it a different way?
If it be your will that I speak no more, and my voice be still as it was before, I will speak no more. I shall abide until I am spoken for. If it be your will, if it be your will, let a voice be true. from this broken hill. I will sing to you from this broken hill. All your praises they shall ring, if it be your will to let me sing. From this broken hill, all your praises they shall ring, if it be your will to let me sing. If it be your will, if there is a choice, let the rivers fill, let the hills rejoice, let your mercy spill on all these burning hearts in hell. If it be your will to make us well, draw us near and bind us tight, all your children here in their rags of light, in our rags of light, all dressed to kill. If it be your will, if it be your will.
It's almost like saying, are you sure, God?
Right. That was Leonard Cohen, those of you who did not recognize him. And for those of you who did recognize him, jolly good.
It was still Leonard Cohen.
Right. Sure.
I am.
I love that way of coming in and starting to steer the thing. You see if there's willingness. If there's no willingness.
Remember, we talked to people who were willing to be willing.
Well, that's the next step. Usually, if you can't get them on the willingness, like, no, I'm not willing to believe that. It's going to be a son of a bitch. That's it. That's all there is. Don't even talk to me. So you're not willing to believe that it can be positive or actually different. I don't think so. Well, okay, then let me ask you another question. As Rochelle just brought it up already, she says, are you willing to be willing? Willing to be willing to see it different? I don't know. How much is a ticket for that?
I always come back to this, and I know it frustrates you because you know it so well.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's the worst kind of surety. When your wife says, I am sure about that, Charlie, your behavior is not going to change.
Oh, no, I believe that. I'm also sure that it can change.
Go ahead. What were you going to point out?
I know I'm not going to remember it, because if I get interrupted right in the middle of my thought, before it's totally baked and well cooked, it just falls flat and disappears.
Disappears into that infinite now.
Yes, it does. Okay, that willingness to be willing. What I'm aware of is in our evolution, there are many people who just are not ready to see that. They're sure things are always going to be bad.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Rochelle's much more certain than I am. I am someone of...
dubious nature.
Well, yeah, I have kind of a dubious nature. And when I write, when I try and communicate this awareness, or at least the ideas I have about this thing that we call spirituality, one of the things I've learned over the years is that I have a lot of ideas about it. And they're great ideas, but it is about translating those ideas into decisions, actually. Decisions that are based upon what was revealed through the good ideas, which is that we can depend on the universe to continue to sustain us with infinite, abundant goodness and life.
And we have to do our part. But we're respiratory beings. We breathe in and breathe out. As we receive that from the universe, we give forth that same certainty. We give it forth in our actions, in our creations, in everything that we interact with on the planet. That we interact with everything on the planet to create anew, to create another gem in this beautiful mosaic that we know as the mystery, that we know as God.
You sure?
I don't know, but it sounded good. It made me feel good just saying it.
What we're looking at tonight here at Insight Out the Naked Truth, this weekly radio program, gratefully sponsored by our good friend and his company at Go Raw. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And this is June 9th. This is an interesting time to be alive. I feel fairly sure that I could have said that any time, which brings up the whole issue of time and surety in their relationship.
I think the only thing that one can say for sure, that time changes things of material nature, us being one of them. Time changes us. That's what happens with time. The infinite never changes.
You sure?
Only because I've created that as a definition. Only insofar as I created that thought.
But that makes me wonder, well, what is time? And where is it?
Well, let's listen to What is Time by Elephant Revival. See what they have to say.
Coffee machine telling you what time it is relative to where you've got to be. There is a clock on the console of your car telling you what time it is relative to how far you've got to go before you're there at your destination. Be a place of work, a place of rest, or the walk's remote. But the question remains, well, what is time? It's when the sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes out, people dance all around. Even Einstein said, time is not a condition in which we live. Condition in which we think, and we can change the ways we think. So the question remains, well, what is time? It's when the sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes out, people dance all around.
All around. Are you sure?
As much as we enjoy the process of looking at life using language and thought, at least this one over here is humbled by the fact that it's like taking pot shots at Mars. Each word, it's like throwing a rock up toward Mars on your way to trying to get there. That's how remote, I suspect, and infinitely complex and variegated the universe actually is. And to think I'm this little beginning piece of consciousness that is expanding out into a forever place, which is our home, the universe. And that's the surety that I long for, is to know the assurance of that.
Are you sure?
You know, when you're asked that question, it really does kind of set you back. And speaking of setting back, we're going to have to leave. This has been great. Last thought, Rochelle, before I take us out?
Yes, resistance.
No, not that thought. We're not ready for that thought.
You asked me for a thought and then you tell me I can't have it?
Yeah. Are you sure?
Now?
Yes, now.
Remember, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
You sure?
Good night.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on job one for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.